Un amor todo. Un amor todo. Today we'll begin this study circle, the mother's message. Somebody has asked the mother that what is the true method for studying Sri Aurobindo's work? This is the question. The question is, what is the true method for studying Sri Aurobindo's works? So how will we read Sri Aurobindo's writings? The mother's reply. The true method is to read a little at a time with concentration, keeping the mind as silent as possible, without activity, trying to understand but turn upwards in silence, and aspiring for the light. Understanding will come little by little, and later, in 1 or 2 years, you will read the same thing again, and then you will know that the first contact had been vague and incomplete, and that true understanding comes later after having tried to put it into practice. So here the mother proposes that if we will do the Jogo, integral Jogo, then we have to read Sri Aurobindo's writings again and again with a silent mind. And each time we will read, we will find that we have understood something more. And if we'll practice what is written, then the true understanding will come. So we'll read. The true method is to read a little at a time with concentration, keeping the mind as silent as possible, without actively trying to understand, but turned upwards in silence and aspiring for the light. So in order to understand Sri Aurobindo's writing, so all the Sri Aurobindo's writings are overhead knowledge. So if we will keep our mind silent, some more knowledge will descend to us, some overhead knowledge. And if that knowledge will add it to this knowledge, then we will understand it. So written truth cannot be understood by the mind, overhead truth. So if we are in tamasic mind, then we will misunderstand the written truth. If we are in rajasic mind, then we'll misuse the written truth. And if we are in sattvic mind, we'll limit the truth.
So in order to
And
understand
the Sri Aurobindo's writing, we have to make our mind silence. That means we have to go to that sthita pragya, the samadhi state. We have to go. We have to, in silent mind, only the knowledge descends. And when the knowledge descends, and that gives the capacity to understand.
So mother here proposes that
Understanding
understanding.
will come little by little, so it will not come at once. And later, in 1 or 2 years, you will read the same thing again. After 1 year, you will read, then you will know that the first contact had been vague and incomplete. So each time you will read the same thing, we'll find new thing in Sri Aurobindo's writing. There is new experience in his writing. And true understanding comes later after having tried to put it into practice. So whatever Sri Aurobindo has given in his writings, whatever injunction he has given, whatever rules he has formulated, we have to practice it. Then we will truly understand his writings.
Then another message
the
of
mother that Sri Aurobindo was very conscious of the general confusion, of this general confusion. And so he did not much like, he wanted absolutely no propaganda, but he also did not much like attempt to explain things to people and make them understand, because he very well knew how useless it is. So spiritual knowledge cannot be understood through words, it is understood through silence. The more and more we will be in silent, alone, then we will understand the spiritual knowledge. So Sri Aurobindo discouraged to explain anything to anybody. And never try to make people understand, because that is a waste of time. So that is a useless activity. He very, very often said to me, no propaganda whatsoever. Of course, and above all, no attempt to make people understand.
The maximum effect
One can obtain is the effect of the consciousness at work in the world, universal gesture. So there is a force acting, divine force, there is a universal divine force acting, and we are created by the universal divine mother force. And it is the responsibility of that force that will make us understand things.
Because in everyone,
it produces the utmost the person can do, the utmost of what he can understand. He understands through the influence of the pressure of the consciousness. As soon as words intervene, the whole mind makes mess of it. So this is the spiritual mystery. So spiritual knowledge can be understood. Spiritual experience can be undergone while we live alone with ourselves. And when our mind is silent, then through that silence, the things are understood. And with the help of words, we cannot make anybody understand. So that is a waste of time. Similarly, also Sri Aurobindo is given said about same about the Loka Sangraha, that is also Sri Aurobindo said, that is a waste of time.
So, and waste of energy.
And he gave importance that we should utilize our time and space exclusively to unite with the divine. And by exclusively we'll devote our time to tapasya, to yajna, dana, tapa, these things we have to exclusively utilize. And through that we do good of all creatures. And that is what integral yoga sloka sangraha. If we will do good of others through inner movement of consciousness, that is the integral yoga sloka sangraha. We'll do by doing sadhana, by going inside, by moving the consciousness, we could do good of all creatures. So the consciousness has the responsibility to understand things. So that is why the mother said that when supramental will work, even a very foolish man also will understand it. The most foolish man, most ignorant man will understand it. So that is how we will know what is supramental. So it is all embracing, and it will touch everybody, penetrate everybody. Its light will enter everybody. Its knowledge will enter everybody, and it will enlighten everybody. Now we'll come to another message, that it the concentration. So mother gave importance to this concentration. That is also self-control. That is also tapasya. So the concentration is to bring back all the scattered threads of consciousness to a single point, a single idea. Those who can attain perfect attention succeed in everything they undertake. So if our concentration, that is called sanjama, that is called ekagrata, sanjama. So if that power will increase, then whatever we want to do, we can do. Those who can attain perfect attention succeed in everything they undertake. they will always make rapid progress, and this kind of concentration can be developed exactly like the muscles. One may follow different systems, different methods and training. So if we'll do regularly exercise, then the muscles will develop. Similarly, the concentration will develop if we'll do it regularly. Today we know that the most pitiful weakling, for example, can with discipline become as strong as anyone else. So the mother here speaks that if one will practice self-discipline, then the most weak man also, weakest man also, become a strong man, like other people. One should not have a will which flickers out like a candle. The will. Concentration must be cultivated. So we have to cultivate the concentration. It is a question of method, of regular exercise. If you will, you can, but the thought, what is the use, must not come in to weaken the will. The idea that one is born with certain character and can do nothing about it is a stupidity. So the mother speaks that if we are sincere and practice this concentration, cultivate this concentration, then one can do everything. And the idea that one is born with certain character is not true. So anybody, any weakest person can be a strong person, and weakest person can be a strong man. Now today, well, the seeker's question is there that we had left in the last class. So this question we had left in the last class. What is the relationship between dharma and karma from an integral yoga perspective? So this was the question in the last two class or three classes we have discussed this, and this is yet incomplete. So in today's class we will discuss this dharma, means here the eternal religion, the Sanatana Dharma, and karma is also here. We'll see in the light of this traditional karma yoga and the integral karma yoga, and how they are related with each other. So in integral yoga, there is a, Sri Aurobindo has put some conditions for sadhakas, integral sadhakas. So those who will pursue this integral yoga, they should go to traditional yoga. So if they have exhausted the perfections of traditional yoga, then they can begin integral yoga. And those who will do integral yoga, they must have this thorough knowledge on the spiritual history of earth. And this history of the earth we have to gain from without and from within. This from without through our study, through our intellect, through our study of the shastras, through study of the Veda, Upanishad, Gita and the terrestrial other scriptures of that we have to study. And from within we can also trace the history of the earth, spiritual history of the earth, by cultivating this concentration. So there are four types of concentration in integral yoga. That is exclusive concentration. Then there is essential concentration, essential psychic concentration. Then the multiple spiritual concentration. Then there is integral concentration. Through that concentration, we can know this through essential, multiple, and integral concentration. When that is developed, then we come to know our past, present, and future. Trikala Drishti. The knowledge of three times comes. So we, by developing that concentration, we can go to past of this birth and past of the past births and past history of the earth. And it will be error-free in the integral concentration. There will be no error in integral concentration. So a sadhaka of integral yoga must have knowledge of this knowledge, thorough knowledge of the history of the spiritual history of earth. So what is the spiritual history? So this includes what it includes. It includes also the modern science, the knowledge of the modern knowledge, the modern science. Then we should have an account of the traditional Shastra of the Veda, Upanishad and Gita. The synthesis of yoga book proposes that before practicing integral yoga, one must practice this traditional yoga for long years. For example, the Vedas, the Upanishad and the Gita. And these are to be subordinated by the long practice of the methods of Raja Yoga, Hatha Yoga and Tantra. Then also we should have the full account of the spiritual rise and spiritual fall of human consciousness. Then the conquest of difficulties and study of the limitations and immense possibilities of traditional and integral sadhakas. So when we consider the thorough knowledge means these things we have to know. We have to practice the Veda, the Upanishad, the Gita for long years. Then we should have the knowledge of this Raja Yoga, Hatha Yoga and Tantra and also Puranas also. Then we should also be aware that if those who will practice spiritual discipline, they have to experience spiritual rise and spiritual fall. If they will experience spiritual fall, then that is in the Gita's language, yogabhrashta. So if a developing soul will experience spiritual fall, then that is, he is given lonely chance, forfeiting the lonely chance in time. He is given only one chance. So in the next birth, he will pursue sadhana. But if a developed soul will experience spiritual fall, then that will be a oblivion, that period of oblivion will be small, will be short-lived. Then again you will rise. And this rise and fall is the divine's method for evolutionary method, that is. Because through each fall, the divine gives an opportunity to rise more heights. So fall is a means for greater rise of consciousness. In that sense, we will see that spiritual fall is a means for greater rise of consciousness. Then we should also be aware of the what is the limitation of traditional sadhaka and the integral sadhakas and their possibilities. So who is traditional sadhaka? So our mind is exclusive. So through exclusive concentration, this third exclusive concentration, we turn our mind inward, and through that we get in contact with our soul and we experience divine union. And in a traditional sadhaka, he will either, since mind is exclusive, so he will either do this karma yoga or jnana yoga or bhakti yoga or this raja yoga, hatha yoga or tantra. He can do only one yoga at a time because mind is exclusive. Mind cannot do two yogas or three yogas at a time. So in a traditional yogi, if he experiences divine union, then by that he is satisfied. That union with the divine gives him some inner and outer opulence, and he is satisfied. And by that satisfaction, he remains as a traditional sadhak. But in integral sadhak, so integral sadhak, one can become integral sadhak after adjusting the manifold perfections of the traditional sadhakas. That is the conditional also here. So we are having two works, that is, one is self-concentration and another is self-expansion. So if we'll do this, if we practice this tapasya and this self-surrender, we'll practice, then that is called self-concentration. We'll practice rejection, renunciation, then that is self-concentration. That is one work, then there is expansion, self-expansion is there. So each divine union also brings some manifestation, and that is called self-expansion. So in a traditional sadhaka, after having this partial divine union, he is preoccupied with the self-expansion. So his work for self-expansion is more than his work for self-concentration. That is the nature of traditional sadhak. But in integral sadhak, this if his self work for self-expansion is a subordinate of self-concentration, then he is identified as integral sadhak. So most of the integral sadhakas are traditional sadhakas, but because they are satisfied with their partial divine union. So here in integral yoga, there is a condition that we should not cling to anything. There is a formula that accept everything but cling to nothing. So if one will cling to any partial divine union, then he will remain as a traditional sadhak. So in integral sadhak, he will not be satisfied. He will only cling to the totality of the divine experience. He will cling to the totality of divine experience, samagraṁ mām. So if you will experience divine entirely, if the psychic being and experiences total divine union with Purushottama, or spiritual being experiences total union with the Purushottama, there through that experience only you will cling. And no intermediate experience can satisfy him. So a traditional yogi is satisfied, so his arc for self-expansion becomes more than the arc of self-concentration. So in integral yoga, so he has to move the consciousness. If he will move the consciousness, this is partial opening of psychic and spiritual being in the long run, in the long years, will become the complete opening of psychic being and complete opening of spiritual being. Then they will experience complete union with Purushottama consciousness or supramental consciousness. Psychic being will experience complete union with supramental being, and spiritual being will experience complete union with supramental being. And through that experience, if that is prolonged, then the supramental mother and the Paramatma and Paraprakriti, they both will descend to the psychic heart center, and the psychic heart center become the supramental center. Because in the psychic heart center, the Paramatma and Paraprakriti, they will experience their divine union. And that is a gate opening to the supramental world.
So this is what.
So each sadhaka is having own limitations and possibilities. That also we have to learn what are our own limitations. We'll know by studying our tamasic mind, rajasic mind, sattvic mind. That task is given also in integral yoga, that we have to go beyond those limitations of tamasic mind, rajasic mind, and sattvic mind. We have to identify the total imperfection, and we have to aspire for its perfection. Then there is a history of the sadhakas. So the traditional sadhakas have their limitations. So similarly, integral sadhakas have their limitations. So those integral sadhakas, they search for their separate divine identity. They become successful traditional sadhakas. And those integral sadhakas, they help the others to strengthen their contact with the primary source. So they are identified as the integral sadhakas. Their task is to bring to contact, to make the contact strong with the primary source. So divine is our primary source, and their physical representation is here the mother and Sri Aurobindo. They are our primary source. They are also symbol of the dual avatar. They are also the symbol of comprehensive movement of consciousness. So integral yoga, so a complete knowledge of traditional schools of yoga preconditions total knowledge from within and without on spiritual history of earth. An in-depth knowledge on Sri Aurobindo's teachings is developed by rigorous practice of traditional schools of yoga and restatement of spiritual history of earth. So a thorough knowledge on Sri Aurobindo is preconditions thorough knowledge on traditional schools of yoga. The mother's teaching is identified as a restatement of Sri Aurobindo's teachings. So a thorough knowledge on the mother's teachings preconditions thorough knowledge on Sri Aurobindo's teachings. The mother's work rests on the thorough knowledge on her teachings, or detailed knowledge on the movement of her comprehensive consciousness. The mother observed, this is what mother told, but the difficulty is to find someone who knows Sri Aurobindo thoroughly. So mother was searching the people, those who have thorough knowledge of Sri Aurobindo, and subsequently who is capable of receiving his inspirations directly. So you will get the Adesh from Sri Aurobindo's Adesh, the directions from Sri Aurobindo directly. Capable of understanding Sri Aurobindo's inspirations and transmitting it, and you will do also, you will follow that Adesh, follow the direction strictly, and has at the same time very strong character, and if possible to have his genius. For years I have been looking for that man without finding him. So mother said that those who will do her work, that they should have thorough knowledge on Sri Aurobindo, and also the thorough knowledge on Sri Aurobindo also has thorough knowledge on the mother. So the dynamic side of Paramatma is the Paraprakriti. So we should have thorough knowledge on Paramatma and thorough knowledge on Paraprakriti. And the mother concluded that I have been looking for that man without finding him. So mother never found such people, those who have thorough knowledge on Sri Aurobindo. So this is a task for all the next generation, those who have come, for them it is a task. Then they should have thorough knowledge of Sri Aurobindo from within and without. If we will cultivate our psychic and spiritual being, and afterwards the supramental being, then we will have thorough knowledge of Sri Aurobindo and the mother from within. And we should have also thorough knowledge from without by entering deep into their teachings. And their teachings will be effective if we start practicing it by rigorous practice. Rigorous self-control is their teachings. Then this surrender and rigorous self-practice, self-control is their teachings. So while studying this history, spiritual history of art, so we have to go through these things, that these help, we have to take assistance of these aids. They are identified as shastras, gurus, avatars, and divine mother. Their assistance is these four aids, these four helpful assistants we have to gather. So if we want to pursue this integral yoga. So shastra is generally the secret knowledge descended from above. They are vast records of spiritual experience that our ancient rishis and later seers have witnessed. Our ancient scriptures are great in their wisdom, great past always help mankind to arrive at greater future, and dawn succeeds dawn. Mankind shall arrive at its greatest wisdom when it will be able to recover from its lost totality, fulfilling the past promises. Our ancient seers had foreseen the ultimate future of mankind in the culmination and possession of God, light, freedom, bliss, and immortality. So our past rishis have seen the ultimate future of the mankind, that is identified, the ultimate destiny of mankind is identified as God, light, Supreme God, Supreme Lord experience, then Supreme Light, freedom, bliss, Supreme Ananda, and immortality, physical immortality. So why Shastra is necessary? Because in Shastra, the secret formula of soul's ascent were recorded there, and these seers were masters in discovering new heights in soul's ascent and arrived. There are 108 Upanishads, so each Upanishad, the rishis, the saints, they try to find the divine in some unique manner they want to find. Everybody tried in their own manner to find the divine. Each proposed a new path, and they are quite essential while tracing one's own path, and each siddhi is a step required in integral development. So the perfection is to be sought through ascent of thousands of manifold paths leading to one divine and corresponding return of the same divinity into multiplicities of the material life. The popular tendency of human mind to attain the divine through the path of shortest of the shortcuts is henceforward not considered from our subject of scrutiny. So the popular religion always finds the shortest of shortcut method for the divine, but that is not accepted in integral yoga.
Next, the guru. So the help of guru.
What is the necessary? Guru is an intermediary destined to lead aspirant souls towards the supreme, and his physical presence is a rare opportunity in the life of disciples. The mother and Sri Aurobindo are identified as physical embodiment of the divine, symbol of comprehensive movement of consciousness, primary source of our spiritual and material life, dual avatar and special manifestation of Supreme Guru, Parameshwara. So they are the special manifestation of Supreme Guru. Divine is having sevenfold personality. So the divine is at once the father, the mother, the teacher, then the Lord, then he's the lover and the playmate. So these are the sevenfold personalities. So these personalities will also, a part of this personality will work in the avatars, then vibhutis, then instruments, then the dual, then the twice born souls. A part of this personality will work according to their opening. So who is an integral teacher? Integral teacher is a symbol of movement of psychic and spiritual consciousness, leading it to still higher planes of consciousness, one soul center of multiple or universal divine. So the avatar is created from the supreme, the Parameshwara, but the others are created from this universal mother, their creation. That is there to remember that. Multiple divine. They are one soul center of the multiple universal divine, the secondary souls, spiritual fosterer of twice born souls. And his task is to strengthen the contact of the twice born souls with the primary source, who is at once transcendent, universal, and individual psychic being. So in integral yoga, the divine is at once the individual psychic being, then the universal and the divine and the transcendent divine. Then what is the task of avatar? The avatar has the double task. So your avatars descend on earth equipped with the delegated power from the supreme when humanity suffers a crisis of consciousness and lead humanity to the next step of the ladder in the evolutionary ascent. Avatar's main work is to reveal in man his divine nature. So you'll transform our undivine nature. You'll transform the tamasic mind, rajasic mind and sattvic mind, if we'll open to him. and so divine work. He will transform the ordinary work into the divine work. This is the double task of avatar. So before Sri Aurobindo, many successive avatars came, so they had also the task, some task. So what is the other task of the main task? Is avatar's main task is to liberate us from the lower nature. That is the that is identified in the Gita and also integral yoga is the main problem of the whole humanity is his lower nature. He is under the clutch, under the slavery of his lower nature. So that he can only transcend with the help of the avatars. Because avatars, birth and action both are divine. Janma karma chame divyam. He has the capacity to liberate. If one will open to them, suppose open to the mother and Sri Aurobindo, they are in the subtle physical. If one will open to them, they will liberate the man from the slavery of this lower nature. And they, if we will open to them, then we will learn the lesson how the ordinary work can be divine work. Then the avatar's other mission is restoration of dharma by destruction of evil, as did Sri Ram and Sri Krishna. Or he may represent himself as a divine messenger preaching the gospel of love and peace, as did Buddha, Christ and Sri Chaitanya. Avatar's birth brings an opportunity in each individual formation of human species to repeat his spiritual experience and elevate to his spiritual status. So that is the task of avatar. So he will, avatar is established in some consciousness, some supreme consciousness, and to that consciousness he will help everybody to go. Then what is the task of Divine Mother? So Divine Mother is the dynamic aspect of the Paramatma, so divine. Intimacy with the Divine Mother is felt indispensable in the life of her children, as her supreme touch protects and nourishes the pure and virgin stuff of our mind, life and body. She is concerned with the total care of her children and she pursues in each successive life the leading of the children towards their supreme goal. The supreme task of the Divine Mother is to liberate our nature from the bondage of fixed destiny, narrow creeds, established habits, and indispensable laws leading us to the higher spiritual destiny, absolute freedom from habits, transformation of nature and deathless state. She is the author of the earth's high change and her single perfection can save the earth from intimidating doom. Her ultimate mission is to stay the wheels of doom so that the doom may be left to sleep for all time. Earth's spiritual history saw her long and endless struggle and suffering, and earth shall wait to see with intense gratitude her final victory. So this is the task of Divine Mother. So she is the dynamic aspect of the divine. And she alone can transform our nature, to divinize our nature and bring perfection. She alone can bring this immortality on earth. So Sri Aurobindo was asked by one of his disciples whether he and the mother were avatars on earth. Sri Aurobindo's reply was clear that they came to earth not as avatars. But a study on them reveals that above reply was his greatness and humbleness, and they had far exceeded the limits of avatars. So Sri Aurobindo has exceeded his spiritual predecessors. After landing on Indian soil, Sri Aurobindo's first major spiritual experience, realization, was immutable Brahman, which gave a strong feeling that the divine alone is truth and all the rest were illusion, Brahma Satya Jagat Mithya. He superseded Shankara with the arrival of his second major realization at Alipur Jail of Vasudeva Sarvamiti, which gave a strong sense that this world as well as Brahman were real and true, and the world is as real as the Brahman. Before his arrival at Pondicherry, he has already realized the inner divine, which was the main objective of Sri Ramakrishna's yoga. He went beyond the Buddha in the sense that his realization of the Supreme had the capacity to return positively to complete the evolution. He had already realized the psychic bhakti of Sri Chaitanya had and was in the process of bringing the divine love to the triple world of mind, life and body. At Pondicherry, he concentrated for the first 16 years, 1910 to 1926, on the difficult side of sadhana related with 35 siddhis and number of sub-siddhis, covering the whole range of yoga of self-perfection. On 24th November 1926, he attained, along with the mother, the overmental siddhi, the highest divine realization, descended to earth through Sri Krishna. Sri Krishna supports the evolution through multiple concentration or overmind, leading it towards the ananda. None of the past attempts to unite with the divine satisfied Sri Aurobindo. He wanted something more comprehensive. So after 1926, he concentrated for about 24 years for bringing down the supramental, the integral concentration that will complete Earth's evolution. Before this, the evolutionary orgs were active for accelerating the Earth's evolution with exclusive concentration, essential concentration, and multiple concentration. The above three concentrations will not be able to resolve the fundamental problems of existence. Supramental concentration puts a big pressure on humanity and also on animal and plant kingdom in order to transcend its limitation. But the present humanity will fail to understand its all-inclusive benefits due to their confinement within the boundaries of exclusive concentration. This last century had witnessed a burst of genius under the pressure of this new concentration, which has never been witnessed throughout the millennium. So since the supramental is active now, so the bursts of genius we will find throughout the earth. Because by its pressure, the simple man will become a genius. But man's possibility of uniting with him is open through ever-exceeding hierarchies of consciousness, and he has to decide whether he has to remain satisfied with existing faculties or to explore deeper realms of consciousness. So before Sri Aurobindo, those who have come, they are in hierarchies. So this first the Vamana avatar, he was the representation of tamasic mind. Then this Parshuram avatar, he represents rajasic mind. Then Sri Ram, he represents sattvic mind. Then after them, after Sri Ram, those who came, they were from Gunatit plane. Buddha represents the illumined mind. Then Sri Ramakrishna represents this intuitive mind, and then the Sri Chaitanya represents the psychic and spiritual bhakti, and Sri Krishna represents the over mental consciousness, the universal consciousness. So this world is created from there, that over mental world, over mind, this world is created. From the multiple divine, this world is created. That we have to remember. So Sri Aurobindo confirmed that comprehensive solution of all problems of existence is possible, including the quest of Vedic rishis connected with the physical immortality. Immortality is the final victory and perfection of spirit over material substance. Here, this quest for immortality is not exclusive in nature, but a part of all-inclusive totality, and it continue in three steps: accessibility, purification, and perfection of all the intermediate planes. So Sri Aurobindo has identified there are 10 planes of consciousness. They are inconscient, subconscient, subtle physical, subtle vital, subtle mental, psychic, spiritual, universal, supramental, and bliss self. So there are 10 worlds. So one should have accessibility to those worlds. So mind and intellect cannot go to those worlds. Only psychic being and spiritual being can visit those planes of consciousness. And their work is to bridge the gulf, to purify those seeds, so subtle vital seeds, then subtle physical seeds, all seeds are there. So this is Sri Aurobindo's account. So Sri Aurobindo was not satisfied with his spiritual predecessors, so he wanted to go beyond them. And that is possible by calling down the supramental energy. A similar account of the mother's spiritual experiences can be recorded. Truckloads of spiritual experiences dumped over her head right from the age of 4. Later on, she said that she was forced to refer scriptures only to confirm and understand her own spiritual experiences. When Sri Aurobindo left his body in 1950, a major part of his accumulated spiritual force was transported to the mother's body, and the rest dispersed into subtle physical. The mother continued the work that Sri Aurobindo left for next 23 years. On 29th February 1956, another major siddhi in Sri Aurobindo's yoga came, when the much awaited supramental force entered the earth's domain through the mother's intervention in the subtle physical and was swallowed by the hunger of the inconscient world. Previously, the action of this force on earth was rooted through the universalized consciousness of the mother and Sri Aurobindo's physical body. From this day onwards, from 1956 onwards, the mother entered into a new domain of cellular transformation, most rare on earth's spiritual history. Some southern saints like Thirumalar and Ramalingam were aware of cellular transformation, but their quest was individualistic and not universalized. The cellular transformation is the behavior of the cells of the body which began to undulate in between the old existing mechanical concentration and new immortal principle. The cells underwent a training of constitutional change in order to hold the higher intensities of supramental force. The transition between the attachment to old way of cells living and adopting a new principle is most difficult issue before the mankind that humanity has to face and pursue. Since the mother left at this transition, the further future exploration shall wait the arrival of strong and capable souls. The mother confirmed that our yoga of cellular transformation can be followed by everybody unconsciously, and it is not the privilege of few exceptional souls, since the constitution of the cells of our bodies is as inert and unconscious as that of others, and from a positive point of view, this new consciousness is highly contagious in its nature and one can hardly escape from its influence. The next difficult task of the mother nature related to multiplication of individual cellular transformation may be understood in the mother's language. If for any reason this body, the mother's body, becomes unusable, the universal mother will again start manifesting in hundreds of individualities according to their capacity and receptivity, each one being a partial manifestation of universal consciousness. So for transformation work, the consciousness must be universal. That Sri Aurobindo is put as a condition. Here also mother speaks that those whose consciousness is universal, they can go through the cellular transformation. So these are the things we studied related with the history, religion, religious history of earth, and now we'll study this karma yoga, traditional and karma yoga, which we left in the last class. Then it is possible to relate both religion and karma yoga, karma and religion, dharma and karma, that it is possible to relate. In the next class, we will continue again this thorough knowledge on the spiritual history of art, how we will gain. So now we'll go to this karma yoga, which we left in the last class. So there is a, those who will do karma yoga, they will have to remember this formula. This karma phala tyaga samata and jagya iti karma yoga. So if one will remember this formula, one has to remember this formula. This one has to renounce work, one has to, by renouncing work, one will experience this equality, and by equality is the condition of surrender. If one will, these three things are satisfied, then one is united with the divine. That is karma yoga. Renunciation of all the desire for the fruits of work, equality, and action done as sacrifice to the Supreme Lord of all nature are the first three Godward approach of karma yoga. So if we shift from our ordinary action to this, to become karma yogi, then we have to learn these three lessons. We have to renounce this fruits, renounce the fruit of work. Fruit of the renounce will be easy if you will practice buddhi yoga, yoga of intellect. If one will practice yoga of intellect, then one will remain in samadhi. If one will remain in samadhi, then his desire will decrease. If his desire will decrease, then the desire for the fruit of the work will decrease. Then this karma yoga will become easy. And if you will renounce the desire, then equality will come. And if equality will come, then the consecration will come. So these three rules we have to study more. And what is their implication in integral karma yoga, that we have also to learn. So how traditional yoga is different and from integral yoga. So here this is the line from the Gita: Jastu karma phala tyagi sa tyagitya vidhiyate. He who gives up, 18.11. He who gives up the fruit of work is called tyagi, a renouncer. Therefore, the first rule of action laid down by the Gita is to do work that should be done without any desire for the fruit, niskama karma. For so long as we work with attachment to the result, the sacrifice is offered not to the divine. So if we do work with attachment, then that is rajasic sacrifice. That sacrifice will go to the asuras, demons, and ego. But to our ego, our activity pursued by absorption in action leads to an inferior affirmation and denial of the highest. If we have any motive in the action, then we cannot unite with the divine, highest divine. Afterwards, even as we have renounced the attachment to fruit of fruit, we must renounce the attachment to work also. So this is a more difficult condition. So while doing work, we become attached to the work, but for a karma yogi, he cannot attach to any work also. He will renounce, if divine desires, he will renounce all work, whatever is given to him. And he will accept new work assigned to him. So also the last clinging attachment to idea and sense of ourself as the door has to be relinquished. So we have to renounce work, and also the ego feels that does all work, but that also he has to renounce. Door of work has to be relinquished. The divine Shakti must be known as felt above and within us as the true and the sole divine worker. The state of freedom, mukti, which can come in yoga of works through renunciation of ego, ahankaram, desire, kama, dualities, dvanda, three gunas, and personal initiation, sarvarambha parityag. So, mukti, the Gita's mukti, the liberation will come if we renounce these four things, five things. One is ego, then desire, then dualities, then three gunas, then the initiation of work. These four things, five things, if we renounce, then we are liberated souls. A sadhaka of integral yoga, karma yoga, will abandon social duty. So these are Gita's yoga. So Sri Aurobindo has defined what is a karma yogi of the integral yoga. He has defined. So if he will be, so Sri Aurobindo has defined that in each yoga there are two types of souls. That is also in also Bhagavad Gita. This child soul is defined in Bhagavad Gita as Bala, and developed souls. So Sri Aurobindo is told that for child souls he has not given any rules, no injunctions, and for developed souls he has given injunctions, rules, because strong souls only can follow the rules. So for the child souls, he told that whatever they are doing that is necessary for their development. Child souls are having seven deformations. So seven vikaras, as explained in the Gita. So they are necessary for their development. As per Sri Aurobindo, those vikaras, those deformations are necessary. They are having, suppose, hatred, that is necessary for their development. They are having ego, that is necessary for their development, for child souls. But if the soul will be a karma yogi, like desire, he has to renounce everything. So a sadhaka of integral karma yoga will abandon social duty. So if he will be a karma yogi, then he has to abandon social duty, family obligation, communal or national demand to the lord of works, so long as it is not in conflict with his growing sense of higher right. There is nothing in the world to which he must be attached. Not wealth, nor wife, nor children, nor his work and mission, nor heaven, nor earth. He must give up past association that form the ordinary way of living. You will have no past association. mental constructions of our own snare of mind and senses, the meshes of word, the bondage of idea, these things he will renounce. The truth we hold most securely, that also we have to renounce. Even partial divine realizations must not be clung to it if they are not the divine realization in its utter essentiality and completeness. We must rest at nothing less than all, nothing short of utter transcendence. So if like desire, everything, every attachment has to be dropped. So there is a formula, the supramental formula, that accept everything but cling to nothing. That is the formula. So in supramental life, we will accept everything, but we have no attachment to anything, nothing. So this is the Sri Aurobindo is defined in synthesis of yoga, that if like desire, everything will drop in his life. So Sri Aurobindo has not told the child souls to pursue yoga. Rather, he told that that if his soul will develop, then everything will drop. Whatever attachment, they will drop. Naturally, they will drop. So Sri Aurobindo gave importance to the soul's development. If soul will develop, if his soul will start running, the behind thing will remain behind, and he will go ahead. And if he will not develop, then everything will be with him, past, present, future. He will be attached to everybody and everything. This is the first rule, so, of the karma yoga and integral yoga. Then the second rule is samottam yoga uchyate, the Gita 2.48. So I will only discuss the three rules, and then in the next class we'll discuss the rest of the, what is the karma yoga, traditional karma yoga and integral karma yoga, rest. 18 points, there are 18 points. So we'll discuss only 5 points in this class. So for it is equality that is the meant by yoga. The second rule of action laid down by the Gita is an absolute equality of mind and heart to all results, to all reactions, to all happenings. If good fortune and ill fortune, if respect and insult, if repulsion and obloquy, if victory and defeat, if pleasant event and sorrowful event leave us not only unshaken but untouched, free in mental view, not responding with the least disturbance or vibration in any spot of the nature, then we have absolute liberation to which the Gita points us. So here Sri Aurobindo has pointed out that that how we will know that we are liberated during the time of crisis, the great difficulty, if we will remain unequal in our soul, then we know that that we have attained it to equality. That is the proof that we are liberated souls. The equal poise in action is especially necessary for the sadhaka of integral yoga. First, he must acquire that equal assent and understanding which will respond to the law of the divine action without trying to impose on it the partial will and violent claim of the personal aspiration. A wise impersonality, a quiescent equality, a universality which sees all things as the manifestation of the divine, the one existence, is not angry, troubled, impatient with the way of things, or on the other hand, excited, over-eager, and participate, but sees that the law must be obeyed and the pace of the time respected, observes and understands with sympathy the actuality of things and beings, but looks also behind the present appearance to their inner significance and forward to the unrolling of their divine possibilities. It is the first thing demanded of those who would do work as the perfect instrument of the divine. So this is the demand of the integral yoga, that during the extreme adversity we will remain calm and quiet, and that by that the solution will come.
Then the third solution, third rule. Jagya karma samudbhavam.
So if we remain in equality, then the greatest, during the greatest difficulty will not recoil, will act rightly. That's the call. So that is the things that during greatest difficulty we, if we remain equal, then we have the power to resolve that difficulty. If we will recoil from the difficulty, then the problem will multiply. Then the third is yajna karma samudbhavam. This is third rule. Sacrifice is born of work. The third rule is to entire spirit of self-consecration in our works. It must become first the constant will, then the ingrained need in all the being and instrumental nature. Finally, its automatic but living and conscious habit, the self-existent turn to do all action as a sacrifice to the supreme present in us and in all beings and in all the working of the universe. As that self-being progresses, the work of the sacrifice becomes easier and more powerful, and the prevention of opposing force loses much of its strength, impulsion, and substance. Both inner and outer life becomes an altar of this complete consecration. All work are unconditionally offered to the psychic being within, or the transcendent and universal power and presence. So this is the third rule, that we have to practice sacrifice all the time. So in our day, we will divide our day. The smallest work, we have to practice consecration, then the highest force will descend. If the smallest work can be sacrificed, rightly sacrificed, then the highest force will descend. So each day, if our smallest work, we have to study. If the work we are doing mechanically, then that is tamasic work. Then if we do with motive, then that is rajasic work. Then we have to become motiveless. And if the force will come down, if we rightly consecrate, then the divine force will come down. Then we'll understand that our smallest work is the capacity to call down the highest divine force. So we have to, all the time Mother speaks that we have to practice, all the time we have to practice remember the divine, all the time we have to practice the surrender, small or big work. Whatever work we'll do, we have to do surrender, and all the time we have to do this tapasya, jagya dana tapa, all the time. And out of tapasya and out of surrender, the divine force will descend, and that we will give to the earth. What is the contribution of a spiritual man to the earth? That he will, whatever force will descend through his instrumental vessel. He's an instrument, so through his vessel, the force will descend to himself, to his surrounding, and the world that he will give. Through that, he will enrich the world, existing world, he will enrich. So this much we'll discuss. So in the next class we'll discuss what is this history of the earth. We have to know the history of the earth from without and within. So this without we have discussed partly, then also within we have to discuss through development of concentration. So these things we'll discuss in the next class. And also the next class we'll discuss what is the difference between this traditional Karma Yoga and the integral Karma Yoga. Because in the synthesis of Yoga, Sri Aurobindo has given number of injunctions to sadhakas. So that is only strong souls only can do that, practice that. And those who are child souls, so Sri Aurobindo is told that for them, whatever they are doing, that is necessary. Suppose they are doing job that is necessary for their development. They are having family that is necessary for their development. And whatever they are having, so that is necessary for their development. So when the soul will develop and like desire, they will also drop. So even the partial divine realization, he will not cling. He will not cling to the mission also. So what you will cling? You will cling to the totality, all inclusive totality. Samagrama. When you will experience the complete union of the divine, the comprehensive divine consciousness, you will cling to that also, that only. Because now by knowing that, jasmin vijñate sarvam idam vijñatam. So by knowing that, one knows everything. So that thing we want, that totality of experience, totality of spiritual experience we want. And this, for that, this both the karma and the religion, both we have to reconcile for the totality of divine realization, samagrangma. With this, I remain. Om Tat Sat.